From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And we're joined now on the Thursday interview here on The Hard Shoulder by Terence Power.
Thanks for having me.
The Talking Bollocks podcast. Am I allowed to say bollocks on the radio? I think I have to in this instance. The Talking Bollocks podcast. How are you?
I'm all good. How are you?
I'm very well. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. You are one of the most successful podcaster. I mean, there's millions of I have a podcast. Everybody else. Who doesn't have a podcast?
Everyone has a podcast nowadays.
But you guys are actually successful podcasters, which is a very different thing. Yeah. Lots of our listeners will know all about Talking Bollocks. But for anyone who doesn't, explain how it kind of started. Because it started small, didn't it?
Yeah, it started really small, yeah. But me and my friend Calvin were obviously just chatting one day, and I told him we'd love to start a podcast one day, and we're both from the north in a city in Dublin. And we had a deep conversation one day, and we were like, wouldn't it be great to start the conversation and try and change the perception of the inner city? Because, as we know, it does get a bad rap in the media, and we thought we'd be these heroes that could come in and change everyone's perceptions. But we gave it a bash at the start, and we just had conversations, had people on from the area, had people on from all different backgrounds then, and now it's just a bit of crack. Like, we do 2 episodes a week, a Tuesday and a Thursday. The Tuesday is just a bit of crack with us, like having a buzz. And on the Thursday, we get a guest in from all different backgrounds, all different life stories, and just have a chat. And then Mondays is TBX as well. That's the subscriber model.
Yeah, that's the little bonus one.
Yeah. Oh, but I think people have a perception that it's always so serious on the podcast. I think that's a perception of it. But we have a lot of blatant fun on it.
Ah, you do. Yeah. Like, you guys are both funny. I mean, yeah. I do know. And you do cover serious issues, because you yourself came, as you say, from the North Inner City, from Dorset Street. You would have had a tough enough start because of addiction and things, as many people would from particularly your area, but also outside your area. Many people would have walked a similar road to you. They wouldn't have ended up where you've ended up.
No. That's why I feel obliged to talk about that. And not embarrassed, because sometimes you do live and you have a chat about growing up around addiction, and in the area we grew up in, you feel a little bit like, oh, should I have said this? Should I have said that? But then when you do, you get this response from so many people of saying, I had such a similar life to you.
Yeah.
And that's what the rewarding part is, because so many people can relate to it.
Yeah, but I think you speak your truth, Terence.
Yeah.
I do think you do. And I think that, that authenticity is one of the reasons the podcast is so successful.
Yeah, so do I. Because because obviously when we started, like, you start small, but the whole community
started at your kitchen table, didn't you?
Yeah, literally talking into a phone, like, and the audio was terrible, and we were so nervous, and like the content is shocking. But people from our area just all got together, and they're like, oh, they're one of us, like, and they're doing that. And
were you somebody who was well known in your area? Would you have been popular in school and popular around? So you kind of knew people, you knew you had a bit of likability?
Yeah. But I think it's kind of like that in town anyways, in the inner city. Everybody knows everyone and everyone's a buzzer, and, you know, and then when you see somebody starting something, I feel like they really do get behind you, like, you know, and I feel like that's what happened.
It is a big, one thing that people forget sometimes about North Inner City, because it does get a bit of a bad rap, I think you're right, is that it's a real community. And I say that because I used to work there. I used to work in North Strand. I was a GP.
Yeah.
The first GP job I ever had was on North Strand for a year when I was young. And so, and I was amazed at just how tight and how close the community was all around Portland Row, Sean McDermott Street, all around there. Everyone knew everyone. And everyone then knew me. And you'd be walking up three, how are you, Doc? And all that kind of business. And it was, it's like a village.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And that, especially when someone is starting something, everyone's like, get behind them. You know, they're one of our own. And that's how it started. Like, it just started with that. And then it just kept growing. And we're like, whoa.
And it has kept growing. How many listeners and followers and all do you have now? It's loads, isn't it? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
I know we're doing a couple of 100,000 listens a month on the podcast now. Like, and yeah, that's that. doesn't even sound real to me, like, you know, it doesn't. And I think, like, in Dublin, I think only, like, 20% of our listeners are Dublin-based, at 25%. So that means there's 75% all over the world and all over Ireland. You're like, that is crazy.
Would you have ever thought it?
Never.
And how has it changed your life? Because obviously you started out in the pandemic, you started at the kitchen table, two lads just who were mates chatting.
Yeah.
And now it has grown into your, it's a career, it's a business, it's all of that. So how has this changed your life?
Well, it's something I love doing. Yeah. And I know we were speaking about that earlier, but I really do love doing it. Like, you know, when I get to do it as a full-time job, like, I wake up full of gratitude every day that I get to do this as a job. Like, this is a blessing, you know. And I know we were saying earlier, it seems so easy, but it is a bit
difficult. Make it seem easy because you're yourself on it, but that doesn't mean turning out that level of content is not easy, but also there's certain pressures come with all these things.
Yeah, there's a lot of eyes on you and stuff, you know, so that's where the pressure comes from, you know. I think everybody thinks it's easy, and then you sit down, there's cameras and there's mics and you have to be entertaining, and it's like, oh, it actually is. But compared to, like, you know, a lot of my friends work really hard jobs. They're on the sites every morning. Now you get to come in and chat to people and have fun and really do what I love. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
I do something a bit similar, and I do think it's a privilege. Do you still live in the same area that you lived in?
Yeah. Look, I'm living in Dublin 7. Like, I'm still living around. Like, I'm close to town. And, yeah, I'm still in the same area. Nothing has changed, really. It's not, you know, like, obviously it's a full-time job now and I make good money from it. But, I mean, it's not like as if you're ever going to just move off, or, you know, I love being where I'm from, and my plan is to stay there forever.
Yeah. And of course, over the years, you've started a family, you've done, like, life has moved on you started talking bollocks.
Yeah.
I'm going to say bollocks as many times as I can, because normally they wouldn't allow me, so I'm going to keep saying it in this interview.
Yeah, you'll just keep going with it. I love it. Yeah, life is, Jesus. When I started the podcast, I was probably 24 years of age. Like, I hadn't a clue what life was. Like, I was just rolling with it, just coming on mad nervous, talking every week. And now I've a son, and so much has happened. I've grown up so much. I've grown up on the podcast as well, which is, I think, something the listeners always refer to. Like, they always talk about, at the start, you were, like, so nervous, and now I'm a bit more comfortable doing it. And
I know, because you've talked openly about it, about your own history of addiction and your mum's history of addiction and all that. Do you feel that you're giving your little fella a different start?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like, I know exactly what not to do to give him the best chance at life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not putting my family down or that.
And by the way, I wasn't trying to
Of course not. No, I understand that. No, but I'm just saying, like, because obviously I could have took a different route in life myself, and I did for a while. Like, I fell into addiction myself, but thankfully I was able to come out the other side of it and sort my life out. And I know what it's like to be down and out. And I know now what I need to do to give him the best chance at life, you know. And I've experienced that as a kid. Like,
do you feel very proud that you've managed to turn it around so that you are in a position to do that? Because I think
reason,
you should.
Yeah, it was the exact reason why I turned that around. Because, like, although my son is only 3 months old, I had the intentions of one day having kids and not wanting them to grow up with a father who was in addiction, where I was in addiction. I always had plans to have kids at some stage, and I didn't want to be.
And you, of course, lost your own dad young.
Yeah, I lost my dad young. That wasn't true addiction, but yeah, I know what it's like to grow up without a dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that could have easily been the case for me over the years, like, you know, but yeah, I turned that around. I'm doing all right.
You are definitely doing all right. You had a bit of a health scare a while back, didn't you?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah, I had a brain surgery in November, for a condition called trigeminal neuralgia.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of it?
I have, yeah. Pain in the face.
Yeah, Jesus.
Bad pain in the face too.
Oh, it's really bad, yeah. Pain in the face is like, you had a little pain in your face. Nah, this is bad. Like,
yeah, nerve pain is always rotten.
Yeah, I've never experienced pain like that ever, you know. That first came on to me in like 2022. I got the first bout of it and I was like, what is this? Like, it was excruciating.
Yeah,
like one of them shocking pains. You ever got a shocking pain?
Mm-hmm.
One of them where it hits you and you're like, what is that? So yeah, I got diagnosed then with trigeminal neuralgia after that and had to undergo surgery for it. Yeah,
that's actually unusual to have surgery. Mostly they're managed with medication and things, but
yeah
that obviously didn't work.
No, like the medication for me, like, that was never going to fix the issue either. I don't think medication can actually fix trigeminal neuralgia, can it? You're a doctor.
It can alleviate it for some people. And sometimes it passes for people too.
Oh, does it, yeah?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, well then I'm not sure why surgery was required for me. But yeah, I was on medication. But I would only take the medication when a bout of it was coming on. Sometimes you'd feel it starting.
Yeah.
You know, you'd get that tingle in your head or your face and you're like, oh, this is going to come on. And then you're on medication and that's no way to live either, really.
And what next for you, Terence?
In terms of what?
Do you have any hopes to do different things? Like, is it just talking bollocks? That's going to be it, you and Calvin? Or will it be, do you have other dreams and aspirations? Because you strike me as somebody who does have dreams.
Yeah, I do have dreams and aspirations, but they're all mainly just for the podcast. Like, I don't, you know, people, I find...
Are you guys, you're thick as thieves, like you're going nowhere, no solo runs?
No, I don't think so.
Ant and Dec.
See, people always ask us that and they kind of say, oh, you was going to go into telly one day and host a show. Or
look at someone like the two Johnnies. I mean,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's not necessarily unlikely or impossible.
Yeah, I don't think it is either, but it's not something that I even aspire to do, really. But I think because talking bollocks is just... love doing it.
It's
like,
your baby.
Yeah, like I'm not pushed to do anything else. Like it'd have to be a really good offer or something where you can go, oh, like that can really change your life or whatever. But for now, I'm comfortable, I'm happy, and you know, and I'm only back in the swing of things. I only come back last week after surgery, so I'm on here now saying, yeah, I'm dying to live talking about it.
I've so many other things I want to do. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks
and we wish you well. And as I say, it's up there as one of the most successful Irish podcasts of all time. And if you haven't checked it out, Talking Bollocks on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts, absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
Terence Power, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.